We're going to be spending a lot of time in Psalm 40 this morning, if you want to go ahead and turn there. The Lord be magnified. That is what David writes in verse 16 of Psalm 40. The Lord be magnified. Now, the King James Version translates verse 16 as, "Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified." The American Standard Version, the original ASV, translates it pretty similarly, except for the last part. It says, "Jehovah be magnified." So this morning I want to focus first on what this word magnify means. And then after that, ultimately I want to try to answer this question. How can we magnify the Lord in our lives as David calls us to do? Now we all know that many words in the English language, their definition has changed over time. The way it was used in Old English or Middle English, the word may mean something different today. Now, as I said before, older translations of the Bible, like the KJV, the ASV, they translate the Hebrew word gadol as magnified. However, if you look at some of the modern translations, more modern translations, you might have one of these translations yourself, such as the ESV or the NIV, you will see that instead of translating the word as magnified, those versions translate it as great. Now, the English word magnify comes from the Latin word magnificare, which that Latin word magnificare meant to esteem greatly, or to make great in significance or importance. Now, when the Bible was first translated into English, I didn't go back to the very first translations, Tyndale, Geneva, so forth, but at the time when the King James Version was written in the very early 17th century, now the word magnify did have a literal meaning of make larger or make to appear larger. But in a figurative religious context, as it's used in the Bible, magnify meant to glorify, praise, extol, or honor greatly. Now, of course, back in the 17th century and before that, the Bible and religious writings in general, were of utmost importance to the majority of the population. And so the religious definition of glorify, honor greatly, that definition of magnify was probably the most common understanding when somebody heard the word magnify. That's what they thought of. But now in our modern world, what do we think of when we hear the word magnify? Especially like in science and so forth, the word most often is thought of in the literal sense. That is, generally people would use the word to mean that they're taking a tool like this in order to make something appear larger than it actually is. So on the one hand, you have the figurative definition of magnify, to glorify, to honor greatly, and then you've got the literal understanding of the word that most of the modern world uses the word for, that you use something to make something really small appear larger than it actually is. So since the primary definition of the word has changed since the time of the King James Version when it was first written, even though when we read magnified in Psalm and in other places of the Bible, we have a general understanding of what is meant there. It's not surprising that because the definition of the word has changed in our world, the more modern translations have taken magnified out and have used a word such as great instead. The Lord is great. Now, I'm saying all this not to debate about which translation is better or how this particular word should be translated, but I want to use it to make a point. In our own lives, there are two different ways that we may magnify God. In our lives, in our hearts, and our actions. As we magnify God in our own lives, are we doing it the way the Bible means the word? Or are we doing it in the way the modern world means for the word? Because we may all say, "The Lord be magnified," with our lips, but how are we magnifying God in our lives? How are we magnifying God in our lives? Now, we know that we should be glorifying Him and honoring Him above all else. We should be making Him great, magnificent, and dominant in every aspect of our lives. However, perhaps we are instead treating Him as this very tiny thing in our hearts and in our minds. And it's like through our external actions, when people see us being a Christian, they just see empty actions, because they see through our lives that God is just this tiny little thing, and through our religious actions, we are just trying to make Him appear bigger than He actually is. Now, in Psalm 40, verse 2, if you go up towards the beginning of Psalm 40, in verse 2, David writes about God, that He brought me up out of the pit of destruction, out of the miry clay. Listen to what David says there. He brought me up out of the pit of destruction, out of the miry clay. So David is basically saying that in his time of desperation, when he is in a trial that he can't get out of himself, God rescued him. So like David, we should see God as the one who can do what we cannot, for He alone is great. Now, no image can do justice for how great we should view God to be, but I'm going to show this example for context. If this book was your life, when you open it up, this is what people should see. I hope I have this right side up. Nope, I didn't. When you open up the book of your life, is this what people see? This is what people should be able to see prominently, obviously, when they look at your life. But I'm afraid that for many people who wear the name Christ, you have to use the modern word of magnify to find God in the book of their life. So you open up this book of somebody's life, and you have to get out this magnifying glass, and you look for it. Where's God in their life? Where's God in their life? And then, oh, yeah, there in the footnotes, in very small print, there's God. So, I want to go back to the primary question for this lesson. How can we magnify the Lord in our lives as David calls us to do? To answer that question, I'm going to review how David said by writing Psalm 40, how he magnified God in his own life. So let's first look at Psalm 40, 1 through 5. Psalm 40, 1 through 5 says, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined to me and heard my cry. He brought me up out of the pit of destruction, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock, making my footsteps firm. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and will trust in the Lord. How blessed is the man who has made the Lord his trust and has not turned to the proud, nor to those who lapse into falsehood. Many, O Lord my God, are the wonders which you have done and your thoughts toward us. There is none to compare with you. If I would declare and speak of them, they would be too numerous to count. So, we must remember God's faithfulness and deliverance. David celebrated God's rescue from despair, and he praises God for setting his feet on solid ground. For our own lives, we might go to Colossians 1:13 that says, "For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son." For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transformed us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. So to magnify God biblically, we must remember his faithfulness in delivering us from sin and trials, and we must proclaim his salvation, thus pointing other people to his power. So, again, if this book was the book of your life, on every page, there should be the following words written in 1,000-point bold font. God saved me because he loves me. So prominently on every page, that should be the first thing that people read. God saved me because he loves me. Every blessing in our life should be written in 20-point font with arrows pointing back to that primary statement of God saved me. And then all the trivial things in life that we enjoy that too often distract us, those should be the things that are written in 2-point font that require the magnifying glass to be able to read them. You look in the book, you got to get out the magnifying glass to find entertainment, possessions, prestige, approval of men. If they're even in the book, they should be very tiny, but everything should point back in our lives to that phrase, God saved me because he loves me. Now, unfortunately, we know that people of the world don't have God anywhere in the book of their lives. However, unfortunately, there are those who call themselves followers of Christ who have it all backwards in the book. They have the trivial things in the largest font. When you open up the book, what do you see? You see that their possessions, their prestige, the approval they seek from men, their entertainment, those are the dominant things, the prominent things that you can easily read on the pages of their lives. And then if you want to find the words, God saves me, typically what you find is people that have it backwards have to get out the magnifying glass when they are facing trouble, when they're facing trials, when they feel desperate. They get the magnifying glass out long enough to find those words, God saves me, saying, I am in trouble, God, where are you? And they search for him. However, once the trouble is over, then they put the magnifying glass away, and the part of God being their savior and rescuer goes back to just being a tiny dot on the pages of their life. Now in verse 17 of Psalm 40, David says, "Let the Lord be mindful of me." So looking at verse 17 again, David says, "Let the Lord be mindful of me." So whether our life is going well or if we are facing trials, as David was when he wrote Psalm 40, we should remember it is God who is gracious and loving enough to be mindful of us, rather than us choosing to be mindful of God when we decide we need him. He is the omniscient, omnipotent, creator God who can deliver us from all evil. We must not treat him like he's a tiny genie in a bottle that we just make large when we want him to grant us a wish. I'm going to drive this point home by reading Paul's words in 2 Corinthians 12, 9 through 10. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 12, 9 through 10. And he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." So we must remember to magnify the Lord by maintaining a humble spirit as Paul had, and recognizing our total dependence on him. He should be magnified by us proclaiming to the world, he saved us. He saved us from our sins. He saves us from the trials of our life. He gives us our hope. Now, another way that David showed that he magnified God in his life was by talking about his obedience to God over prioritizing religious practices. If you look at Psalm 40, verses 6 through 10, it says, "Sacrifice and meal offering you have not desired. My ears you have opened. Burnt offering and sin offering you have not required. Then I said, behold, I come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me. I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. I have proclaimed glad tidings of righteousness in the great congregation. Behold, I will not restrain my lips, O Lord, you know. I have not hidden your righteousness within my heart. I have spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your loving kindness and your truth from the great congregation." Similarly, as 1 Samuel 15:22 says, "Has the Lord as much delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams." Now, Romans chapter 6 says the following about obedience. In verse 12 of Romans 6, it says, "Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its lusts." And then similarly, in verse 16 of Romans 6, it says, "Do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death or of obedience resulting in righteousness?" Jesus points this out in Matthew 15:8. Jesus said, "This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me." So, we magnify the Lord by living a faithful life of obedience and aligning our heart with his will. If we are not obeying God with every aspect of our lives, it is like we are shrinking him down to a little tiny bit of dust. So we have to make sure that we are not a person who shows up here for worship on Sunday morning and we pull out that magnifying glass again long enough to say, "Oh yeah, there God is in my life." as we offer an empty, meaningless sacrifice of our precious weekend time to listen to a Bible lesson, sing some songs, eat a tiny cracker and drink some juice. Then we leave and God once again becomes a speck of dust as we live life however we please. So, we must recognize God's righteousness and strive for that righteousness. As David said in verses 9-10 of Psalm 40, he declared that he will not keep silent about God's righteousness, faithfulness, and love. So we need to make sure that we are living a life of obedience so that we can magnify the Lord by offering a living sacrifice every time we worship him. Only through a life of obedience to God, making our faithfulness be the words written on the pages of our life, can both the congregation and the world see through us what David says. We want people to hear this in our life, to see these words prominently. I have not concealed your loving kindness and your truth. Can we say that in our lives? Can we honestly say to God, I have not concealed your loving kindness and your truth? And then in verse 16 of Psalm 40, David writes, let all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Let those who love your salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. We must magnify the Lord through joyful worship and thanksgiving, no matter the circumstances. As Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. So, in conclusion, by reading through Psalm 40, we can see key ways that we can magnify the Lord as he deserves. We praise him for his deliverance. We live in obedience and proclaim his righteousness. We trust him in trials and surrender to his justice. We rejoice in his salvation and depend on his help. So this is my challenge to you. Make the Lord be magnified, your continual declaration in word and deed. Let your life say, the Lord be magnified. And let others see his greatness through your life, as Matthew 5:16 says, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Now for some, you may have experienced the salvation of Christ, but since have minimized God in your life. Or perhaps you have never given your life over to God by being immersed in the water to die to self and to live a new life in Christ. Now we offer this time of an invitation to give you an opportunity to come forward if you need to align your life to be able to magnify God the way he deserves, or if you need to give your life to God. We invite you to come forward as we sing.